Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Esteemed listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Sirius FM, we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wherever you may be in the world. On this day, the 17th of Muharram, 1442, corresponding to the date, 26th August 2021. And this is the program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's topic, alhamdulillah, is quite interesting, Al-Jihad fi sabilillah, that is striving, fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our listeners should feel encouraged to send your queries through to the number 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, plus 2784-786-3132. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab here, Hazrat Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum ma'azai. Khan, alhamdulillah, today is the 17th of Muharram 1443, and we welcome the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to this program, and that is Al Jihad fi Sabilillah, and with special reference to the issue of Taliban.
Mufti Saab, we have a lineup of questions. The first question is, what is the meaning of jihad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you check up in the dictionary lexicon, you will find that jihad has many, many shades, many definitions, and so forth. So easy one will be badlut taqa, which means whatever is in your ability, capacity, capability, you spend that, you use that. For what do you use it? So this hadith mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad will elaborate and expound and explain it properly. The people, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, came to Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, this person fights here, and to show quwwa, his strength and prowess and so forth. Another person comes, he fights ria and wasum'a to impress people. Another person comes, he's fighting for his country or what have you. So Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given uti to Jawami'ul Kalim, that short words, concise words, but encyclopedic meaning. So Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man qatala, whosoever is fighting fi sabilillah, in the path of Almighty Allah, litakuna kalimatullahi ilya, so remember to elevate the deen of Allah, the name of Allah, fawa fi sabil. So he, that person, is in a path of Allah. Man qatala litakuna kalimatullahi al-ulya. So that is the words we need to underscore, we need to underline. We're making effort and to elevate here the deen of Allah, not to project himself or project his organization or country. All that must be secondary. The aim must be to elevate the deen of Almighty Allah. So that will be the broader connotation of jihad. So what we are doing now, educating the ummah and people and esteemed listeners, is also jihad. You know, today people don't understand things easily unless you illustrate the point via an example. So you see, if you are in the corporate world, the business world, you have the holding company. So the holding company is ABC. Then that ABC has many, many branches. One branch, they're selling stationery. One branch, they are selling furniture. One branch, they are selling clothing. One branch, they are selling appliances. One branch, they are selling carpets and curtains and all these type of things, haberdashery and what have you. So all those will be the branches of that holding company. So jihad is the holding company. And what are the branches and the categories of it? So you have jihad bil mal. You spend your wealth for the love of Allah. So this is now jihad also. And you give your time for the sake and love of Allah. That is jihad. You teaching and learning. So that is also jihad. So you're reading salat. That also is jihad. You're going to earn a halal and permissible income. So that also is jihad. So when a person remembers Allah, he's making zikr. So that also is jihad. So jihad has so many different categories, but the intention must be li'ilai kalimatillah, to elevate the deen of all Allah jalla wala. And inshallah, once we do that, then we become mujahid fi sabilillah, a person who is striving in the path of all Allah azza wa jalla.
Mufti Sahib, is there a specific name for jihad when we are fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yes, 100% all Maitallah Jalla Wala states, Kutiba alaykumul qital, wa huwa kurhul lakum. And all Maitallah has made qital, that is fighting against the enemy. So that is something the supreme sacrifice. And therefore, then you human being, you dislike it. So who loves to give their blood, their life in the path of Allah? Very few people. But that is the supreme sacrifice. And therefore, all Maitallah Allah is motivating and encouraging and inspiring us. وَعَثَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. Maybe, perhaps you dislike something. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, is better for you. The honor it will bring to you, and the shoka and power it will bring to you, the booty and the spoils of war. Look at Taliban. Not sitting with millions, sitting with billions. You must remember the Black Hawks and the Chinook helicopters and the planes and the arms and the guns and ammunition and what have you. So you dislike it because you will lose so many people, but in the ending it is better for you. وَعَثَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. So you dislike something, but وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. وَعَثَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. And you love to be in your comfort zone. You love that, but it's bad for you. Because remember, when we get so comfortable, then to go out in the path of Allah becomes a big deterrent and an obstacle and an impediment. So the Ummah has to realize that to go out in the path of Allah, that is one of the greatest things. See, I give you. You must remember one Quranic verse and one Hadith Sharif. And this will open up every Muslim's eyes and hearts and minds, provided that we have true Iman. Almighty Allah is putting us and placing us through a test. And what is a test? Almighty Allah mentions 8 items, 8 things in the noble Quran. Cool. You say, Ya Rasulullah, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, In kana abawukum wa abnawukum wa ikhwanukum wa azwajukum wa ashiratukum. Chapter number 9, Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, Chapter 9, verse number 24. So Almighty Allah states, Say, Ya Rasulullah, O Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, In kana abawukum, your parents, wa abnawukum, your children, wa ikhwanukum, your siblings, your brothers, sisters, wa azwajukum, your spouses, wa ashiratukum, your family members. Now that will be the greater family. Wa amwalun iqtaraftumuha, the wealth that you are accumulating, the wealth coming to you. Then the 7th one, wa tijaratun takshawna kasada, the business you fear there'll be a downturn in the economy. Just to transgress for a minute, yesterday, day for yesterday, today, Bloomberg carried out a survey, and 82 countries, and South Africa came out last. Bloomberg carried out a survey in this week here, and remember, South Africa came out last, 82 countries. Who has the highest rate of unemployment? South Africa, 45%, 44 point something, so 45% plus minus. So imagine how people will fear the downturn, that you won't have enough money, you won't have income, disposable income, you won't have enough resources. وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَ وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا. And the eighth one, the homes. Your palatial, comfortable homes, you're so happy with it. Now see what Allah says. Eight things Allah has mentioned, chapter 9, verse 24. Ahabba ilaykum, any one of them, or all of them, are more beloved to you than Allah. More beloved to you, wa rasulihi, and his messenger, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa jihadin fi sabili, and striving in the path of Allah, fighting in the path of Allah, da'wat, inviting in the path, all those meanings will come in, but the greatest will be qital, and that is fighting in the path of Allah. So when we give preference to any one of that, fatarabbasu, then wait. What must we wait? Hatta ya'ati Allahu bi amri, till Almighty Allah unleashes his punishment. Imagine. So that is the test, the litmus test, they say, that you must have, the main test we have to undergo. That do we really love Almighty Allah? Do we love the love Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we really love, you understand, striving and going out in the path of Allah? So all this is a test. And if we fail, Allah forbid, Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqin. Allah will not guide the people who are the fasiqs, meaning non-Muslims or very close to non-Muslims, Allah forbid. Surah 9, verse 24. So this ayat is a great inspiration. And one hadith in Abu Dawood, which is hadith is sahih. Sheikh Albani and them also said hadith is sahih. Idha tabaya'tum bil'ina, when your business dealings are crooked, wa radhitum bizarra, and you are pleased with your farms and your plantations and so, wa akhadhtum adnab al-baqar, you hold on to the tails of the animals, meaning you're happy with your cattle and farm and so forth, wa taraktumul jihad, and remember you left your jihad, fighting, making efforts, striving in the path of Allah, sallallahu alaykum dhulla, Allah will impose upon you disgrace, humiliation. Whether you say 50, 55, 60, 65, Muslim countries, majority Muslim countries, whatever, each one of them disgraced and humiliated. Arab countries, Muslim countries, a whole lot without any exception. Why did disgrace? Sallallahu alaykum dhulla. And wala yanzihu ankum. And then Allah will not remove it from you. Hatta tarji'u ila deenikum, till you return to your true deen, the love for Allah, the love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love for jihad, that must be supreme in our life. Then this ummah will gain that honor, dignity and respect. So that is the challenge we have to rise up to.
Mufti Saab, what is the hukam of jihad and when does it become farz?
Remember, in normal circumstances, jihad in the meaning of fighting, qital, will be farz kifaya. So, for example, they in Afghanistan, they are fighting the enemy. In Palestine, they are fighting the rogue regime of Israel. In Syria, they are fighting the kuffar, Shias. So, all these places, you must remember that they are doing it. So, we don't have to get involved in that directly. But if a person, he has fulfilled all the conditions and he goes, then remember there's great reward for him. But it's farz kifaya, like janaza salat. Some people do so they have absorbed everybody else. So that is the first point. But when you see, for example, I'm giving now, just an example. South Africa, example, is a Muslim country. Now the enemy are coming nearer and nearer to us. They already came past Lesotho, Swaziland, Botswana, and Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Zambia, all. So they're coming right in. Then it becomes for the Ain, for us also. So then we also have to take up arms and ammunition and so forth. Because now they're going to invade your country, already they invaded. So when that happens, then it becomes for the Ain. So it means for every male who's sane, mature, able, capable, he must participate in that. So when it's far away, then it's for the kifaya. And when it's right in your backyard, in your country, and so forth, then it becomes for the Ain, for those who are able and capable. People who are old and sickly, women, all that, they are exempted and excluded.
Mufti Sahib, what is the virtues of jihad?
MashaAllah, the virtues of jihad are so many. Look at what Quran Kareem states, that أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. You must remember, this was the first verse to be revealed, to give permission and grant permission to the Muslims, that now you can take up your arms, you can fight the enemy, you can retaliate, and so forth and so on. So why did Almighty Allah give this permission? وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. And Almighty Allah has all the power in assisting them and helping them. So that's the first thing. So jihad is a mean. Al-jihadu tariqun nasri. So it's a means of invoking and bringing about the help and the mercy of Almighty Allah. Let us be honest. Do we really think that Taliban alone could have beaten America, NATO, and everybody else? Obviously, it's not like that. So it is the mercy, the benevolence, the grace of Almighty Allah. So the first verse to be revealed, that now you are allowed to take up arms and ammunition and fight the enemy, Surah Hajj, chapter number 22, and verse number 39, and then verse number 40, and so forth and so on. So that is what we must learn, first thing. Second one is this, that when jihad starts and so forth, obviously there will be casualties, people will pass away and so forth. So what does the Quran Kareem say? وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Do not say for those people who are martyred in the path of Allah that they are dead. Don't say they're dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Nay, they're alive, but me and you, we cannot perceive it, we cannot comprehend and understand it. It is something that is supra-logical, above our puny little brains. Surah 2, chapter 2, and verse number 154. So that is one verse. Then go further. Al-Qur'anu yufassiru ba'du ba'da. Certain verses of the Noble Qur'an, they elaborate and explain the other verses. So yea, it is said that those who became martyred, they are alive in their grave, they are alive on the day of justice and so forth. But you, O Muslim, O human being, you cannot see it and perceive it. So that is the mercy of Almighty Allah. Next one. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says, regarding those people who gave their life and they made the supreme sacrifice, what did Almighty Allah Jalla Wala tell us about them? وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Do not think and consider those people who are martyred in the path of Allah that they are dead. Nay, بَلْ أَحْيَاهُنْ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ. Nay, they are alive by Almighty Allah. يُرْزَقُونَ. They are given sustenance, they are given rosy, they are given provision. The angels will bring to them whatever they desire and so forth and so on. Surah chapter 3, verse number 169, and listen to Surah 3, verse 170. The blood is oozing out, the blood is gushing out, but what happens to them? فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ. They are rejoicing and they are happy, elated, delighted, because of the fadl, the grace, the mercy which Almighty Allah granted them. So how honorable are they? You know what they say? وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ. And they give the glad tidings to those people, لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, who have not joined them as yet. They say, Ya Allah, give us permission. We want to go tell them that they must participate in the jihad and so forth. Why? Because of the honor, dignity they are receiving. So what did they get? لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There is nothing. You must remember that fear, no fear for them and no sadness and so forth. So that is the barakat and the khairat and the virtue of this jihad. So chapter 3, verse 169-170.
Mufti Sahib, how many wars did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participate in?
When you study the Seerah Mubarakah, the life history of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam, so where the Master alayhi salatu wasalam participated himself, you call that technically Ghazawat. And where Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasalam sent Sahaba and so forth, that you call Sariyah, singular, and Saraya. So there's a plural. So Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his own Mubarak self, he participated in 27 battles, right? All the enemy surrendered and so forth. And if you look at, you must remember, the enemies, that is the non-Muslims, that when they came to our country and so forth, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were sent. So in cases like that, remember, so we will say the Sarai are 50 that Nabi alayhi salatu salam sent out, 50, and the Ghazawat are 27. So that is what you must remember. Now it's a very interesting topic, and let me go through it from start to end so you will understand it much better. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, and that is the Hijrah, the first year. So during the first year, what were the most important things that took place? Three important events, incident, narratives, call it whatever you want to. Number one was Muwahat. Muwahat means brotherhood. So they were told that, see, that we have our own leader, and that is Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everybody must accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he's receiving wahi, revelation, all that. So they said fine, and you see, that is how Nabi alayhi salam became the ruler and leader and so forth. So that was the first year. Then the building of Masjid Quba, building of Masjid Nabawi, all those issues there. So that is the Muwahat and making the Muhajir and Ansar brothers and so forth. So that was first year. Second year, Battle of Badr, Friday 17th Ramadan. We all know there were 313, and remember, the Muslims lost 14 men, 1-4, and the rest, remember, they were buried there in Syria, and remember that they were the ones that the Badri Sahaba considered as one of the most senior and greatest companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Against all odds, they were victorious. So this happened in the second year. Third year in Shawwal, we see the Battle of Uhud took place, not Uhad, Uhud. And remember, there was victory for the Muslims initially, but then they came down, they thought the war is finished, and Khalid bin Walid, remember, was not Muslim at that time. So therefore we say Khalid bin Walid, so otherwise Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid. So remember that he was not Muslim, he found the back open, and then he came from there, and then 70 Sahaba, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu became Sayyidu Shuhada, the greatest of martyrs and so forth. That is second year. Second year is Badr, third year is Uhud, and fourth year is Khandaq. Remember the trench. So there Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala suggested that these people, they outmaneuver us, outnumber us, they will, you know, defeat us, so let's dig a trench. And they won't know what to do, and if they try to cross the trench, they will fall inside, and then we can then sort them out. So second year was Badr, third year was Uhud, fourth year was Khandaq, and fifth year was Ghazwa Bani Mustaliq. Ghazwa Bani Mustaliq, Bikasri Lam. So why we must mention this? This is the time when Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam Sahaba were coming back to Madinah Munawwara. Our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she lost, you must remember, her necklace. And when she lost it, so all Allah revealed 16 verses for Mother Aisha to exonerate her. Surah 24, Surah Nur, verses 11 to 26. So 16 verses were revealed for Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So therefore, we must understand the chronological table as well. And then the sixth year was Sulh Hudaybiyah in Zulqa'dah. So that is just outside Makkah Mukarramah, nowadays it's called Zul Haraifa. And nowadays you must remember, this is just called outside Makkah, and it is called Hudaybiyah, and nowadays it's called Shumaysiyya. So the new name is Shumaysiyya. You must remember that. So Zulhulayfa is there near Medina. Nowadays it's called Bir Ali. So anyway, so that was in the 6th year. 7th year was Umratul Qadha. Then they didn't allow in the 6th year. Then 7th year, Nabi alayhi salam came. Then 8th year was Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, where the hearts of the people were won over and they entered into the fold of Islam. Yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Took place, remember that. And thereafter, you must remember, was the 8th year of Fateh Makkah and 9th year, the Battle of Tabuk. So this was in the month of Rajab. 30,000 Sahaba assembled for this mammoth task. By plane I went there. It takes you 1 hour, 20 minutes, 1.5 hour. So remember this by plane. So now in that intense heat, 45, 50 degrees, they had to go. Why? To elevate the deen of Allah. So that is what we need to always understand. And 10th year was Hajjatul Wida, and 11th year was the Sheikh. So you must remember that Nabi Sallallahu, the 10th year was Hajjatul Wida, and the 11th year was when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sheikhin, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, all of them performed the Hajjatul Wida for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bid farewell. So when you study the Seerah Mubarakah, you come to know about the battles as well. And remember, when we go for Umrah, Hajj, whatever, and we are there, we should go and even take the private taxis and whatever to go and visit all these holy places, so that you must remember we know exactly. So in the 6th year, you must remember, was the Hudaybiyah, and 7th year, Muharram, was Khaybar also. So that is where they defeated the Jews. So that is very, very important to remember. So like that, we see Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in 27 ghazawat. Sariya, let me give you an example of that. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an, Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu an, and remember Zayd radiallahu an. So, and said that each one of you, if this one passed away, then you must make this one the Amir and this one. So all of them passed away, all three of them. Thereafter Khalid radiallahu an, Khalid bin Walid, he became the ruler. And remember, then when he returned, he was called the Saifullah, the sword of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that you will call Sariya. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Sahaba, a garrison, an army, small army. But he, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not participate himself in that great victory and great, you must remember, success for the Muslims. So that is how you will understand the seerah to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program. Remember, the topic is on jihad. Mufti Saab, the next question is, how did Taliban come into existence?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Taliban means students. To understand the history of Afghanistan, you need to know the following basically and practically. It was conquered during the time of Sahaba radiallahu an. First was during the time of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an. Sayyidina Usman ruled this ummah from the year 24 right up to the end of 35 Hijrah. On the first of Muharram, that on Muharram first and to the year 24, he became Khalifa, and in Zulqa'dah 35, he became Shaheed and martyred. So in that period there, parts of Afghanistan were conquered. Then during the reign and time of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an, other parts of Afghanistan were conquered, and Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ruled the Ummah. He was the Khalifa Amirul Mu'mineen from the year 41 to 60. So remember that almost 20 year period. So that is Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an. And then you must remember that things carried on. Then, you know, this people here, the British Empire 150 years ago plus buyers, thrice they tried to occupy the land, you must remember, of Afghanistan. But why would they want to come to Afghanistan? These whites and this white administration, they don't just come like that. They do their homework, feasibility study and so forth. So they know that it is a country that has a lot of raw material. So there are the poppy seeds and so forth for their drug trade and so forth. So all that underground, they have so many things there and so forth. So therefore they tried. plus minus 15,000 British soldiers dispatched there to Jahannam and Hellfire. Remember that? So that was the British. Then we find in 79, the Russians came and they invaded. Remember that? So that was for 9-10 years. Then with their tails between the legs, they had to run, and 50,000 plus Russian soldiers buried in Afghanistan, dispatched straight to the Hellfire. And that is again the Mujahideen. There was some American help and so forth, but by and large it was the great, great sacrifices of our Mujahideen. And what sterling, great, great sacrifices they made. So Almighty Allah's mercy came, and then they defeated them. The whole USSR, the Soviet Union, disintegrated. And then from the 90s, 1991, 1992, you will see all these countries became independent states. This Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and all that there. So you must remember, so that was the Mujahideen's time. Then we see that in 1996, Osama bin Laden, rahimahullah, and them, they said they're waging war against America, because America had entered our holy land, Medina Munawwara, and so forth, and Saudi Arabia, and all that. So he said, by that time he was in Afghanistan already, and remember that they welcomed him as a Mujahid, and so forth. And then 9/11 took place. We all know that was in 2001. So they, the Bush administration, said that this person, Osama bin Laden, he was guilty, and they must hand him over. Mullah Omar was in charge, the Amirul Mu'mineen, and remember, how did Mullah Omar and them mobilize the people? That also is fascinating. You must remember that what used to happen in Afghanistan is that sometime they would kidnap young children, sometime they would hijack, kidnap young women, and so forth, and they would make them slaves, sex slaves, and so forth. So he said, no, we can't allow all this. And he saw a dream wherein he saw Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mullah Umar rahimahullah that you must start doing work in Kandahar and so forth. So they started their work, and that is how they gained so much popularity, because the crime came completely down and so forth and so on. And you know, there wasn't this business of sodomy and fornication, adultery and so forth, which was rife and rampant there, and was, remember, in Afghanistan at that time. So when other areas saw this, they invited the Taliban, come here. So that's how they gained power, and they came into power and so forth and so on. And the American regime and dictatorship said no. They said no, that as far as we are concerned, Osama got nothing to do with any criminal activities or 9/11 or anything. So they refused totally. And remember, he told the Voice of America, the Pashto language and Pashto service, that see, we are prepared to hand him over to a Muslim country. We are prepared to hand him over to The Hague, but we're not prepared to hand him over to the Americans and so forth. This was his foresight and his basirat. And so you saw what's happening in Guantanamo Bay and so forth, what's happening to our sister Dr. Afia and so forth, the torture, the persecution going on. So then they were looking for a pretext, that is the Americans and so forth. So then they invaded Afghanistan. So when they invade, they justify it. You see, they're occupying Palestine for more than 70 years. Who are their biggest backers? You must remember America, Britain, Europe, Germany, all of them, France, and all of them. So you will see that when they invaded Iraq based on a lie and so forth, weapons of mass destruction. So the white man and the white countries and so forth, America, Britain, and so, they can invade whoever they want to and destroy the Muslim countries, Arab countries, and so forth, and bomb them and reduce them, so too, you understand, to, you know, non-entities and so forth. But the Muslim of Afghanistan said, we're going to make this place, Afghanistan, the graveyard for all of you. Lo and behold, 200, this is their figures, 250 Americans dispatched straight to the Hellfire, another 100,000 from NATO, and all of them dispatched to the Hellfire, so 350,000. We believe the number is much more. So you must remember that of the enemy forces. So Taliban? No, that now they sophisticated, they used to it, the masters of the mountains and the jungle and so forth. And these Americans, what they know? So they don't know these things, yeah, about how to fight guerrilla warfare in the mountains and so forth. So alhamdulillah, that, and if you go further into history, then you will know the type of Mujahideen Afghanistan produced. You go read the life of Mahmud Ghaznavi, you go read the life of Shihabuddin Ghori and all of them. What things they did in India and other places, they are original bases Afghanistan. So remember that Shihabuddin Ghori, Rahimahullah, Mahmud Ghaznavi, Rahimahullah, they are children, grandchildren, their progeny is there. So this is a nation from young. When I went to Peshawar, I didn't go to Afghanistan, but when I went right till Peshawar and that, even I used to get frightened that you see young boys, 7, 8, 9 years old, sometimes they're standing and they have a gun, and that gun is even taller than them. So you wonder, but these youngsters, everyone got the gun. There in South Africa, you come with a water pistol, we'll get finished. You must remember that. I mean, let us be honest about this. So this was their pride. You must remember that. And if you go to the madrasas and all that, they learning all that. But other side, they're practicing with their guns and what have you and so forth. So this is how Taliban came into existence. And lo and behold, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat came in Josh. Special mercy came down. This is Allah's. So they were won over Kabul, they won over the whole Afghanistan in less than 2 weeks. In less than 2 weeks. And this is Fateh Makkah ki yaad ko taza kar diya. How Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba, 10,000, entered Makkah. There was no looting, no rioting, no raping, nothing. And remember the conquest of Makkah too. So if you see Taliban, they took on 48 countries and they defeated them, humiliated them. Till today, if you take the analysts who are not looking at things with a jaundiced eye, who are slightly fair, and you know, let's just call it like that. So they also will admit it was a magnificent, spectacular victory for the Taliban and so forth against America. And imagine now, packing up every day, that 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 people packing up and going back. And now, if you count, this is conservative. This is not the truth. Conservative, more than $20 billion, the Chinook helicopters, the Black Hawks and all that. And you must remember the planes, the guns, the war, the ammunition and the grenades and whatever else. Half the things the Taliban don't even know how to use it. But you must remember that Pakistan is with them. China will be on board with them. So quickly they will learn, they must. The learning quick. So they were, and now Allah gave them this booty, this Mali Ghanimat, and that is now they can become a super force. The thing that they need to fear, this is Taliban. The thing they need to fear is Iran. Iran is on the one side, and inside Afghanistan, you must remember the Hazara. The Hazara Shias. If you study the history of Shiaism, the day they were born, in Rijalul Kashi, you must remember a Shia book. There they write the Bani and the founder of, you must remember, Shiaism. That's why we say they're 100% Kufar, that it was a Jew, Abdullah bin Sabah. And always, from that time till today, they're always treacherous. They are giving. What is the truth? We must speak. You must remember, we don't have to hide that. So they are giving oil and so forth to Taliban. And that is something very good they are doing. They are giving arms to Hamas and so forth. It's very good. But you must remember, they will always do so with an ulterior motive and hidden agenda. And that is what many people don't understand. And when the time is ripe, then they will stab you in the back as well. So that is really well known about the Shias and so forth. So that is what Taliban need to be very, very aware of and so forth. That's one. Then obviously, they know they are enemies, they know America, they know Europe, they know India, they know Israel and so forth. So they will have to be very, very careful of all. And then the world media, that you can see how how the world media, today they want to cry. The world media, Western media. What about the Afghan women? What about the Afghan children? So I ask you the question, what about the Palestinian women? What about the Palestinian children? You, the American regime, 10-pot dictators, when Madeleine Albright was asked that there are 500,000 children dying there in Iraq, and I was there and I saw it with my own eyes, how the medicine would come, all expired medicine. Our guide in 2000, he also passed away. So you must remember when we were there in Iraq in 2000. So this is what you did. Based on a lie, you murdered million people, and half of them, you can say, were children. But they want to come speak of. So who is going to be responsible for all the damage there? Are Bush and Blair not, you must remember, war criminals? Are the Israeli prime ministers not war criminals? This ICC, you must remember, is only meant for the Africans. So today they want to pick up Umar Bashir and pick up this one and that. When you're going to pick up Bush and Blair and all these American presidents? When you're going to pick up the prime ministers of Israel and that? Then you can say you're doing justice. So that is, and it's from the horse's mouth. President Jimmy Carter, you can go and Google it and see it yourself. Jimmy Carter says America is 243 years old from the time all this modern day politics and all that started. Only 16 years, 1-6. From the 243 years, only 16 years we had peace. Otherwise, we were always at war. Otherwise, we were always invading somebody's country. Otherwise, we were always regime change and so forth. So the question a person needs to ask, who are the super terrorists? The super terrorists are America. The super terrorists are Israel. The super terrorists are the British. The super terrorists are the white regimes. They want white supremacy. And remember, therefore, even today, but the public, the masses are asses, you know that. So, therefore, the Muslim can't think, the Arab can't think, and so forth. Today, you can't go for Umrah. Why you can't go for Umrah? South Africa, red zone, and so forth. This one, and even if you are allowed to go, you must take this vaccine, you must take this vaccine. Just today, I sent out. Just today, I sent it out. I don't know if you saw it, Maulana. One lady, she had an old newspaper, and there, you must remember, it's written, they will introduce a vaccine for depopulation. And she just kept it. When was this? In the first page it came. And I sent it out to all the groups there this morning. So 2011 or so, it's dated. So the newspaper's name is there. If you got your phone, you can just check it up also. So you must remember that that is their aim. For them, the aim is this Africa, this Asia, this Arabs, they all second class, you know, third class people. They're wasting our time. They're a liability to us. And so just get rid of them, 7 billion, bring it down to 2 billion, 3 billion, and we will have white hegemony, white supremacy, and so forth. So that is what, and this whole thing of vaccination is based on that as well. But who is there? The money, you know, the trail goes to the politicians, the trail goes to the media, the trail goes to the churches and the Maulvis and all of them. For what? The Maulvis, the masjid is closed, but they'll open for vaccination. The pastor last week, he said, South African pastor, he said, the government tells us that we must have 50 people in the church. But then the same government tells us you must bring 500 people, 400 people to the church for vaccination. So at least that much sense they had. They said, no, why must we bring 50 to the church to pray and 500 for vaccination? You must allow 500 to come and pray also. So at least that much ghairat, you can say, some self-respect and self-esteem they had and so forth. So you have to study this whole thing properly and understand these things here. But who is going to? Money speaks all languages, they say. Money is sweeter than honey. So from the top, this whole thing. So you must remember that Pfizer character. These are all documented. That Pfizer character, the founder, he said he's going to Israel. So Israel said, you're not vaccinated. He said, no, I'm waiting for my turn on the queue. Who's fooling who? So you must remember, Israel, they vaccinated the whole Jewish population almost. They gave them two jabs. 65% of them are sick and lying in hospital or clinic or at home in isolation and all. That is not enough. Now you must take a booster. So who's fooling who? We can't be so naive and so forth. So understand, this is what they want. Every Muslim country, every Arab country, you must be subservient to them. Politically, you see the Arab countries, they can't, see, simple, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. So much money they have, the Arab countries, or they had, because now it's not so much, but before they had so much. Not one Arab country can make nuclear. Not one. But you have a poor country like Pakistan, they have nuclear. How you reconcile that? So you must remember that when you don't worry too much about the Western forces, then you will have all these things here. But they worship the Arab regimes and so forth. Therefore, I call them tinpot dictators. That they worship America and the West more than they worship Almighty Allah. So what happens is, with all the money, still humiliated, disgraced. Why? Because they depend so much on them regarding their politics, regarding their economics, their money. It's just paper money that, but it's tied to the dollar. So you must remember that. So therefore, you will find your whole life, it's one rate. So like that, so mother. So what happens politically, you must speak to the Khurd boss, big man, you understand? Socially, you have to speak to them. Economically, you have to speak to them, and so forth. So that is why, if you know the story of Saddam, my name Abdul Qadir Hussein, his name Saddam Hussein, not my uncle or something, but what is the truth, we have to speak. When Saddam and them said, we're going to sell oil in all currencies, dollar, euro, whatever, they said this guy is a threat, so they got rid of him. So he committed other crimes and whatever, but for us, he died a shaheed, you must remember that. And he died according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Shias and the Americans made sure they put him away. You take Gaddafi had such a Libya, they did not owe one rand, 1 cent, $1 to the World Bank or this bank. Go ask the Libyans today, they're all crying that we had such a country, not one poor person there. We could get free education, free medication. When our children were getting married, $50,000 were given to them. All this. So when he said, we're going to sell oil, so finish, get rid of him. So when these people speak, you must, for what they got rid of King Faisal? Same thing. So when he said that, why did you come and poke your nose when the Egyptians and the Arabs were winning against Israel? Then America came. So then the embargo came. So all this happened in 74, 75, he was shaheed. So if you just study all this, you will come to know. But our Muslims, who's prepared to read and understand? So Taliban will be called the worst of the worst. What they did, they liberated their own country. They emancipated their people and said, this is our country, all you foreigners get out. Today they're all getting out and with their tails between their legs, and the world is seeing the crumbling of the empire and all their allies. Now you must remember, no. So inshallah, before end of August, they'll be out, although some countries want extension and so forth. So what Taliban did, we don't say everything of Taliban is correct, we don't say that, but we say 80-90% what they did, no other country in the world can do it. Don't tell me about the Muslim countries, don't tell me about the Arab countries. They will surrender before the first bomb falls. So these people, they gave their life, they gave their everything, and they said, let us prepare. And we place our trust, you must remember, only in Allah. They never trusted United Nations, because they know what United Nations did in Bosnia and that. And they never trusted America. They know what America is doing in Israel and what they did in Iraq and so forth. They never trusted Britain, because Britain invaded them before already. So they never trusted Russia, because they invaded them. So all this was there, the writing on the wall. So what they did is that we placed our trust in Allah, and Allah gave them such a spectacular, magnificent victory beyond human comprehension and perception. When I see what arms, ammunition and so forth they got in the booty and spoils of war, then you must remember that is the ayat of the Quran. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When you have taqwa, piety, then Allah will make a way out for you. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will give you such risk that you also never will expect and anticipate. So therefore, we must be proud and happy about their accomplishment. And we know Afghanistan is a poor country. 2/3 of the population is living just with poverty on $2 per day or less. So inshallah, this will be good for them, that they can build, consolidate their country and so forth. So if somebody asks me, will I go to Afghanistan? Yes, I will go, because they don't have all this. You must remember, they said, let me make one more point clear in the 1-2 minutes I got left. They said, all this mask, go fly a kite. All the social distancing, go fly a kite. All this vaccination, fly a kite. So that is what the West are asking now. Hmm. That these people, no mask, no social distancing, no vaccination, and no one really is dying there. So how, and then they still defeated the enemy with all the intelligence and everything else. So something is fishy somewhere, isn't it so? So think properly about that. They showed and taught the world a great lesson of Iman. You call this Quwwat-e Imani. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. 89 times Allah uses this phrase. With our Iman and our trust in Allah, and using the worldly means that are permissible, you will overcome your enemy. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. In tansurullah, that if you help the deen of Allah, yansurukum, Allah's help will come. Wa yusabbit aqdamakum, Allah jalla wa ala will keep your feet firm. So therefore, my request is this in the ending and conclusion. Remember, you are a Muslim and you belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the minimum you have to do. Start tonight, after Maghrib, after Isha, whenever is convenient. Daily, make it part of your routine. You read 2 rakat salat. Ya Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain from the Kuffar Shias who want to take control, and those who are inside and the enemies of Muslims. Remember that some of them are inside, but the agents of America, you Israel and so forth. So Allah protect us from the external and internal enemies. That's one. With that, you make intention, Allah protect Masjidul Aqsa and the Palestinians. So that is our first Qibla. So we must never forget that. And what sacrifices they making. And then all the Muslim countries, Arab countries, where they are, you must Mujahideen and so forth. Allah grant them victory. So that is the minimum requirement we did, that we show some affinity, some love for those people who are dicing with death on a daily basis. Quickly after the news, inshallah, Brother Yusuf Ali will read the news. Then 12 to 1, the series by Sheikh Mazahir Mahmood on Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an. 1 o'clock to after the Adhan, to 1:30, the trip to Durban, our report back. 1:30 to 2 from our archives, verses 17 to 20, inshallah, Surah Yunus. 2 to 3, Madrasa on AM on Azaid. And then, inshallah, 3 to 3:30, this morning, Q&A. 3:35 to 4, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, and by Mufti Taqi Usmani. 4 to 5, Watch Your Words by Sheikh Salim Dorat of UK. Then 5 to 7, Moana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7.30 will be the repeat of last week's khutbah, inshallah, from Makkah and the translation. 7.30 to 8 will be Mo Yunus Patel. 8 to 10 will be Moana Arafat and Mo Salim Karim. And 10 to 11 will be Moana Ridwan Kaji, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners all over the world. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.